we come to a time in our service to give messages. Most of the time, I can't wait to give it because it's usually something out of my own heart that God puts in there for me to give this message. But we're working on what we've been doing for the last few Sundays with our life groups on what God has joined together out of Mark 10, verses 2 to 9. We're going to read that in a little while. But it's not a subject that I like to speak about. It's not a subject that most people in America and across the world don't want to speak about. And sometimes it could strike nerves within a congregation and strike nerves as us as Christians. As Christians, we want to do what God is telling us to do or what God wants us to do, what he tells us in his word. And so often we don't do that. For lots of things, we sin. None of us are righteous. There's only one that was righteous, and that was Jesus Christ. But what we're going to talk about today is what God has joined together is about divorce. Not an easy subject. For my own personal life, my wife and I, we have three sons, two are divorced, remarried. We know the agony. Remember the old sports thing on TV, the agony of defeat, and so on. We felt that. We still do. So we're going to go into the family project here that we've been doing. Divorce may have occurred in your immediate family, your extended family, other relatives, your friends. You may have experienced divorce yourself. I took a poll in my life group. There were 18 of us there. And I said, has anyone in here experienced divorce, whether it be your own, whether it be family, whether it be friends or whatever? Raise your hand. All 18 of us raised our hands. How about you guys? Experience it? Majority of families, there's probably no one in here that has not experienced somewhere, some way in their families, divorce. So we're going to take a look at what God had intended for marriage and also what Jesus said about marriage. And then we're going to look at how divorce affects the church since we are God's family. Remember the word, God's family. Okay? And we are family in here. If you don't like me for a reason, I'm still your family. Families fight, families argue, I'm still your family. But before I go any further into this message, I want to clarify one thing, very important one thing. Nothing can separate us from God's love. God will always love us, no matter what you're doing and what you're going through. And that's something that you need to tell your loved ones who may not be here and that are going through difficulties of this nature. God loves us from the womb to the tomb. And we depend on that love in our hearts and minds. God gave us what family is supposed to be. God wrote it into our DNA, one man, one woman. He wrote it. In Genesis chapter 2, God makes Eve from the rib of Adam. I saw on Facebook that some people say it's the prime rib, which makes a woman better above a man, so on and so forth. But we won't go there at this moment. So God makes a companion for Adam. Adam and Eve become one. This is God's plan, not man's plan. It is God's plan. Adam and Eve have children. God's plan. They begin to fill the earth with people. God's plan, not man's plan. God's plan is for man and woman to get married and have children. Procreation. But as time passes, man and woman, they begin to forget God's plan and they begin to make their own human plans. God's plan was ideal. It was perfect. Man's plan was imperfect, and it messed up what God's plan was. So God destroys the earth, except for who? Noah and his family. He's going to start new. Then as time goes by, man and woman start to want things done their way instead of God's way. God says, okay, I'll give you all some rules to follow to satisfy your hard-heartedness. And he gives Moses the rules for marriage and divorce. Divorce was never God's plan, but man's heart became hard. Man and woman wanted to quit their marriage. Families got broken, which led to humanity becoming all messed up again. Instead of families being filled with love and righteousness and togetherness, they become filled with anguish and turmoil and unhappiness. God is now left out of the equation. Now let's look at what happens when a family unit experiences divorce. Now this is an example. Okay? Just an example. Let's see how people are and can be affected. In a family of five, when divorce occurs somewhere in that family unit. I changed names here so y'all don't know who they are. I want you to meet Olaf and Mildred. Okay? Olaf and Mildred. Olaf marries his sweetheart Mildred. That's two people. They have three children, Mo, Larry, and Curly. The names have been changed. That's a total of three more. That's five to the family. Mo takes a wife and has three children. He also inherits two in-laws. So now we have a total of six for that family. That's six and five. That's 11 people now involved with this family. Larry takes a wife and has one child and two in-laws, a total of four. So now we add on to that, that's 15. And then Curly comes along and he takes a wife and has two children and two in-laws. That's a total of five. We now have 20 people involved with this family of five that are considered family. If you count great-grandparents, that adds a few more, but we're not going to add them into this. As time goes on, Larry gets divorced from his first wife, marries another, and has two children and two more in-laws. You see, the in-laws don't go away. They're always there. Always there. So that's a total of five. Now we're up to 25 people in the family. All of a sudden, Curly gets a divorce, then marries another, and adds two more in-laws. Total of three. Now we have 28 people in this family, not including great-grandparents and so on and so forth. But at this point now, Olaf is thinking, what did I do? I should have bought that Harley-Davidson motorcycle years ago instead of marrying my sweetheart, maybe. And I would have been going across the country like Joe does. Right, Joe? But Joe does have a wife and family. You walked in at a good time, Joe. Thank you for that. So there are approximately 28 people involved with these divorces. More, like I said, if you count grandparents and other relatives and so on and so forth. But just because two people end a marriage, it does not end with that ex-wife and ex-husband. Divorce does not affect just two people. And I know how it affected me. I know how it affected my wife. And I know how it must have affected all of you. Divorce causes parents to be heartbroken. Am I right? I'm sure. Grandparents, heartbroken. Children separated from fathers and mothers. Children separated from grandparents. Children now living with stepfathers and or stepmothers. There's court battles. Children not knowing which end is up. Children having to change schools, neighborhoods, friends. There's a whole lot more involved with just two people getting a divorce. Other consequences of divorce include jealousy and bitterness. Jealousy can infect like a disease, causing strife and tension between many family members. And it goes on and on and on. And is anyone truly happy? Does this look like God's plan for families and marriage? Of course not. But now we're going to put aside all that stuff and talk a little bit further on what we as a church, and we're going to get into that, what we as a church and as grandparents and so on and so forth do in situations like this. But everyone has their own opinion about when divorce is justified or not. Even Christians are reluctant to look at Scripture regarding the issue of divorce and remarriage. It's a very, very tough thing to do. So I want to read what Jesus said about marriage and divorce in Mark 10, verses 3-9. This is the only Scripture I'm using today, okay? It says in verse 2 of chapter 10 of Mark, some Pharisees came and tested him by asking, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? What did Moses command you? He replied. They said Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away. It was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote you this law. Jesus replied, But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. So Jesus is telling the Pharisees that God does not approve of divorce. It's just that simple. But I'm not going to speak any more on this. Excuse me, on remarriage or the consequences of. I want to look at God's design for marriage compared to the world's thoughts on the subject. I want to take you through some of the study that we're doing in the life groups right now called the Family Project. The family structure of father, mother, and children is the norm in cultures around the world. This structure was God's design from the beginning. People intuitively follow it unless they are persuaded by some other philosophy. For example, polygamy. Man has several wives. This was supposed to be a utopia where all parties would be cared for and happy. But what begins as man's happiness, I said man's happiness, ends with jealousies, children that cannot be cared for properly, hatred, incest, and many other disasters. Now, in our so-called modern society, we have governments that want to dictate what families should be. Not God's plan, government's plan. They want to take control of our beliefs that God has given and change family structures to what any individual wants it to be. This too shall be disastrous in the end. Not because of my words, but because of God's words. The modern world says that family is whatever feels good, whatever you think it is. Whatever you think it is. There are a number of benefits for family members through God's structure. Benefits such as greater economic prosperity and a sense of belonging and connectedness. Now, grandparents, keep that in mind. You're part of all of this. to raise children. A society also benefits from God's structure of family, such as child education and moral instruction that families provide, which has a result of less crime, less poverty, and less of a need for social programs. Many of you can think back to 30, 40, or 50 years in this area when you could walk down the streets at night and not fear of being accosted or robbed or any other bad thing. We could leave our houses unlocked and not worry so much about thieves. But why have times changed for the worse? A lot of it, experts say, is because the family units are broken. Family should mold society. Family should mold society. That is God's plan. But nowadays, we have society trying to mold families. And that's not God's plan. It's man's plan. God's plan was for families to train children for the future. How to grow up and become independent with good morals and values. How to live as adults and work and raise a family. God planned for us all to teach and mentor the next generation. And we in here are part of God's plan. This can't happen if the family unit is separated and destroyed. Divorce in Christian homes affects what the world thinks of God. Many in society may look at these divorces and conclude that there is really nothing behind Christianity or the God we claim to worship. Society has adopted the attitude that marriage is disposable. And it's been going on for many years. Don't forget, this started out before Moses. God had to give Moses rules for marriage and divorce and things. If it doesn't work out nowadays, we just get out of it, throw it away. As Christians, we can and should try our best to help families going through difficult situations. Again, includes all of us. We are God's children. It is our duty within this congregation to help those that are going through difficult times. We can help with supporting the children in our churches by teaching shared values and biblical truths. We can tell our stories of parenting successes and failures with newly married or younger couples within our churches. Breaking up is not hard to do. It's staying together that's a challenge. Those words were said by a young person in our live group the other day. Our life group. It's hard to stay together, but you have to fight to work at it. But doing so is vital because every child needs and deserves both a mom and a dad, because a dad is no substitute for a mom, and no mom is a substitute for a dad. That's where grandparents come in again. Christian grandparents helping out with these children. We are the family of God, and when we live for Him and follow Him, God will always love you. Nothing can separate us from God's love. I believe I said that at the beginning. Nothing can separate us from God's love. In our Tuesday morning group again, we were discussing divorce and the issues involved with finding new spouses. We know God did not want divorce in our marriages. But God will provide spouses for repentant believers. God will provide spouses. Spouses who will work for the good of our Christian faith. Spouses who have helped build Christian homes. We see it, people in our own congregation. We have seen it in the lives of people in our own families. My middle son, who had got divorced, and remarried to a Christian girl. The first marriage was not very good. He didn't know who Christ was, even though he was like me. He grew up in a church. He's now a born-again Christian, reads his Bible every day and things like that. But it helps with Christian wives and Christian husbands. I want to read a poem to you. This is called The Oak Tree. Maybe some of you have heard it before. It's by Johnny Ray Ryder Jr. It goes like this. A mighty wind blew night and day. It stole the oak tree's leaves away, then snapped its boughs and pulled its bark until the oak was tired and stark. But still the oak tree held its ground while other trees fell all around. The weary wind gave up and spoke, "How can you still be standing, oak?" The oak tree said, "I know that you can break each branch of mine in two and carry every leaf away. Shake my limbs and make me sway, but I have roots stretched in the earth, growing stronger since my birth. You'll never touch them, for you see, they are the deepest part of me. Until today, I wasn't sure of just how much I could endure. But now I've found, with thanks to you, I'm stronger than I ever knew. So stay strong and hold your ground, whether you're being divorced or have been divorced or whatever. Your roots are God's, and He gives you all the strength that you need if you just come to Him for that. If you're having marital problems, try your best to persist. If your marriage has ended, then let your godly roots make you stronger with Him. Yes, God still loves us, even in divorce. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for your love, dear God, and your grace. And we thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, if anyone is struggling right now within this congregation, that you would open their hearts and their minds, that you would touch them, Father, that you would give them peace, that you would give them joy. I pray that you would work with the rest of us as a church congregation, as godly grandparents and godly parents, and also, Father, just a loving congregation to help those that are struggling, to give them the thoughts that we have, to give them thoughts of your wisdom, God, not ours. I pray, dear God, that the Holy Spirit will use us in these situations and that we'll glorify you in these. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.